was your purpose and you, right, like I said, the beginning, and you started it, it's there and it's just gonna grow from there, right? And you don't know how, and plus we don't know who we touch. You know, we may, and you can't wait for your customer or somebody's approval, because sometimes people don't even comment on your stuff or even say thank you, I loved it so much, and you can't let that get to you. Sometimes people, that's just not their language, they just don't do it.
I'm Andy Jones, and welcome to the Hospitality Leadership Podcast, where it is my mission to help simplify leadership in hospitality. Join me as I explore insights and concepts to help you excel in the fast-paced world of hospitality leadership, from the latest industry trends to the best practices for managing teams, driving growth, and making life much easier for you. We break things down into simple, step-by-step strategies that are actionable and help you lead your people and business with purpose. We help hospitality leaders like you balance the demands of their guests, their staff, and their bottom line. Listen in as industry experts and successful leaders uncover their knowledge, experience, and strategies they have used for success and gain insights to lead with excellence in the hospitality industry. Let's get started. So, hello and welcome to the Hospitality Leadership Podcast and to this episode where I am chatting with Jasmine Mitchell, who is the founder of J. Carmel's Bakery in Belleville, Michigan. And we're talking really about social media and the power of it when it comes to marketing your business, but more importantly, how we can get time to produce the videos and whether we want to have polished content or more, you know, relaxed, casual content, and really how important video content is now in this day and age where social platforms are pushing video content over other forms. How important is it to get producing that content and, you know, planning it out? So we're going to dive into that, and Jasmine's going to share some strategies to help you get through that, to get that momentum in producing the content and, more importantly, publishing it. Doesn't matter how much you record, if you don't publish it, it doesn't count. So we're going to get into this episode after we get back from thanking our sponsors. Running a hospitality business is hard enough, and the last thing you need is to worry about staffing problems from one day to the next. Have you ever found yourself frantically trying to find cover when an employee calls and lets you down? What have I told you? There's a solution to this very problem. With RotiCloud, the people management platform, you can make managing your staff a breeze. With 24/7 access to the Rota for both managers and staff, they can easily notify you of any problems with their upcoming shifts, and you can even set up so the employees can arrange their own cover. Say goodbye to the headaches of staffing problems and hello to the ease of RotiCloud. Start your free 30-day trial today and get your shifts together with RotiCloud. So Jasmine, thank you very much for joining me on the Hospitality Leadership Podcast. How are you?
Good, and you? Thank you for having me today.
Yeah. It's we've just been talking about where we are in the world. I'm in the UK, obviously, and it's awful weather at the minute, given which is what we expect at the winter. But so you're in Michigan. But I want to start off with just finding out what your purpose is in business. What is it that drives you to deliver what you do?
I would truly say passion, 100%, and loving to create. I've always been a creator since I was little. If someone asked me, though, if I was going to be baking, like when I was 5, even when I was 15, even when I was 20, I'd be like, yeah, right. But it just happened, and I fell in love with the creating aspect of it, and then plus, like, yeah, everyone's reaction of like, oh my god, like, you know. So that's mainly my drive. I always laugh and say it's not money, because you have to have different avenues of to make money for this. It's honestly loving to create and meeting new people.
And it's the impact that you can have on people's lives. Certainly from when you're baking cakes, they're used in the most memorable moments of people's lives. And I suppose that's something you've come across. But what was your journey then into, how did you get into opening a bakery?
So I started at home. I was on maternity leave with my daughter, and she's now 7, and she was the best baby ever. And I was actually bored, and I'm like, I have to do something. So
what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, this is crazy. This is not what people talk about. I was scared, you know, but I started baking out of a box, like, you know, just cupcakes, and just started decorating them. It really was for no reason, just out of boredom. And then I started posting it. And when I posted it, people started asking to like do parties and purchase it. And I was like, it's from a box. And they were like, I don't care. Nobody needs to know that. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm really active in my church. And so then they started asking for orders. And after that, it just blew up to the point where next thing you know, I was getting a commercial kitchen. Then trying to find a location, and it just grew, and that's literally how it started.
So where is it today? What, just tell us a little bit about what it is, where the business is at today.
Right now I'm actually in the works of opening my location, and it's actually partnered with my church expand the community and the businesses in that area. We don't have a lot of like grocery stores and restaurants in the city we're in. So they partner and with me to have the bakery there. So that's opening really soon. Like they're literally laying down the concrete and I'm like, I want to throw up. and they're right now just having events, helping women or even men, just how to promote their business and just how to level up, whether in life. It doesn't necessarily have to be business or social media, but what can I do to better myself and find why I'm here, and what my purpose is. So that's where J. Carmel's is right now.
Yeah. Oh, it's really rewarding when you can help someone, isn't it? And is that really what's fueled everything you've done? Is that desire, that drive to help in one way or another?
Oh, 100%. I truly, honestly say I have a giving heart. I've always have. And so kindness goes a long way. And being nice goes a long way. And right now in the world, we don't see that all the time. Yeah. And then, you know, with social media or just even everyday life and just spreading the love and just showing and making someone happy is my heart's desire, truly. I'm a people person. I love people so much. And I would say, like, during the pandemic, that was one of the things where I thought my business was like gonna go downhill. For us, it actually over exceeded because people are at home, you know, just being honest, sad, depressed because they couldn't leave, and people were doing giving them cakes and doing drive-bys, you know. And I was like, are you kidding me? And that made people happy. And just to see that, the joy and just one little act of love made the whole difference just in business in general.
And so, I just want to go back to that transition between, you know, it actually becoming a business, because it's one thing it being a hobby and something you like to do, but then a totally different animal when it comes to business generally. Did your perspective change when it went from just, you know, doing it as a hobby to then actually you've got customers paying you to provide them with cake?
I would say the only thing that changed was being more knowledgeable of my business, because when you're doing it a hobby, you're just making it and just saying, oh, here you go. Like, I'm going to donate you and then, you know, donate you this, just have it. And then people are like, no, take this money. And I was like, what? You're paying me for this? And then people start asking, right, what's the prices? And then I'm like, oh, Lord, now I have to make a menu, you know, and it just escalated. And I would say my customers actually helped me jump into going into the business because it was coming so fast, I didn't recognize it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so it made me say, okay, now I have to get a license. Oh, now I have to, you know, take this seriously. Now I have to create a menu. Now I have to create budget. And then I looked up and I'm like, I have a business now. So that's honestly how it transitioned.
Yeah. And where is it at now? How have you got staff that are working for you, or where are you at?
Right now it is me. I am the marketer, the promoter, the baker, the photographer, but I have family that comes in and helps and volunteers for big orders that I have. But I am looking for staffing right now, being that I'm opening the location.
Absolutely.
So that's something new as well, of learning that other side of it, right? Of creating payroll and all that good stuff.
So in the, obviously, is it 7 years now you've been baking? What's been the biggest challenge, obviously, transitioning it from a business point of view, talking about creating things like the menu and having more knowledge around what it is you offer? But what would you say has been one of the most challenging moments? Has there been a time where you thought, I can't do this, or I'm not ready to do this? Have you experienced anything like that?
100%. Yeah. I would say it's two. Knowing your worth, because, you know, we were talking about just now, you know, creating a budget and saying, okay, how much is this? And we always have lower expectations for ourselves than what people see us. And so really knowing my worth and creating the budget, I had to sit down, get a paper and write down all my ingredients and then divide it and, you know, add it up and know, okay, this is how much it's to make the dessert. Now, how much would I pay myself based on design or anything like that? So that was the hardest for me because I under budgeted myself at first when I actually started as a business. And then also that intertwines when you know your worth, the confidence level, like, because business could be challenging, you get tired and you want to quit. But then that other side of you is saying, no, I'm right there. Like, you don't know if you keep going, what will happen tomorrow. So that's daily though, right? So those are like the
life of being an owner entrepreneur.
Yes, exactly. So those are the two challenges. Definitely knowing your worth and creating a budget.
Yeah. I know certainly even from, you know, hospitality businesses generally, certainly smaller operators, they're worried about how much they're charging for something. And when you look around and you compare them to other people or other businesses that are close by, they're generally below really where they should be. And you're right, even for us now, we're starting to open up services around coaching, etc., to from a leadership point of view for businesses. And I've been through that same process. As much as I know, you know, from the hospitality business, I was always conscious of not underpricing things. But I've come into this business and I'm doing exactly the same thing. But I've had to remind myself, you know, actually look at what you're providing compared to other people around you, and give yourself that idea of actually you are more valuable than you think you are, because you're, a lot of people, we just do. We undervalue what we can bring to the world.
Right, absolutely.
Go on.
No, I was going to say, because originally I was looking at like the big stores around me, but then also looking at the small bakers, or then even looking at other states and even other countries, just seeing so I could compare and like trying to see where do I fit in, but I want people to come. But I easily and fastly found out, like, just because you have low prices doesn't bring the customer in. It's about the relationship, because people are going to, I'm going to repeat this to whoever's listening. People are going to pay for what they want. 100%. 100%. So if somebody cupcake is $5 down the street, but yours is $7, what makes yours unique that they're going to come and buy it? It could be just your warm personality or just how your business looks, right? How they feel when they walk in, that they're going to pay that extra $2. But know your worth. Like, and like you said, you do it all the time. It's an endless cycle. But like, once you get the hang of it, and then you realize people are going to pay for it no matter what, that's how you're going to do it. And one thing I say, and I might get like tore up from this, right? I used to work in retail for 11 years, and the motto was the customer's always right. I'm not saying they're not, but when you are a business owner, absolutely not. You know your business, you know your expectation, you know your end goal. So when someone says, oh, that's too expensive, I don't want it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because at the beginning, I used to change my prices and change my menu every second because somebody was like, oh, I would love if this was vanilla instead. And I'm like, oh, okay, okay. But I was running myself crazy. Yeah. And that's when I realized I have to deactivate myself from the customer's always right. Like, what is for me? What does Jay Carmel's look like? And after that, it was a go for there.
Yeah, it's a challenge. And we had it in our coffee shop. You know, you get people who are, they're regulars. They come in quite often. And it's almost like they're then trying to, yeah, okay, we're open to suggestions, but you get some of them are very much, oh, you really should do this, or you really should do that. And you start to think, well, yeah, that's great, but they don't always see the full picture of the business. They don't see that we've designed this around, you know, a specific group or demographic of people. And we can't be in a position where we're constantly, like you say there, you're jumping from one thing to another. You can't run a business like that. You can't then get certainty on your costings. Certainly menu costings, a lot of people, certainly in the coffee shop game, in hospitality, they don't fully cost their menus out. And even if they did, if they were constantly chopping and changing from one thing to another, it would just be a nightmare to try and keep on top of it. Now, your business has started really... I know usually people start a business and then they market it, but yours in a way has started another way around, in that you've started baking and using social media to put it out there, and your business has grown from that. So how, it's almost a strange way of starting a business, but how has that journey been? What have you learned from that process?
I can truly say social media is scary, but it's your friend. I felt like I was posting, and it didn't grow, right? I always stayed at that 1,000, and then it was at 1,001 and 1,000. I'm like, let me just get to 1,500, you know? Like, I'll be great. And I had everything organized and great and good. And I'm not even kidding. I hadn't posted in like 3 days, and social media will make you feel like that. Like, oh no, I have to post. I have to hurry up and post. And I'm like, it's been 3 days. So I just made something up super quick. It literally took me not even 5 minutes to make a video. I just put splices and I went on vacation. Honestly, I was in the airport, got off the airplane. My phone is going off like crazy. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And it was like, comment. I'm like, what is, and I look, and then all of a sudden that one post went from like zero to like 343,000 views. I'm not kidding, from the airport ride. From me getting on the plane and getting off. And I was in shock. And my siblings, because we were on a family trip, was just so excited. They're like, yeah. And I'm like, and they're like, how do you feel? And I'm like, I don't even know what's happening right now. And then it motivated me though to post again, but then also I was like, I have to post, but what do they want? But I realized it was authentic. Yeah. It was myself. It was straight to the point.
Yeah.
It was pleasing to the eye. And right now with social media, like, we like quick things, right? Like, we just want it, see it there. Attention spans are really short. Yeah. And after that one video, because after I posted like something like talking and it only got like 5 views. And and then I posted another short video of food and it went up again. Yeah. And that's when it clicked. I'm like, okay, this is what the demographic wants. This is what people like to see. And I'm not kidding. I went from 2,000 people to 10,000 in a week. And then the 10,000 went to like 30 in a month. And it was honestly consistent, not posting, but consistent to what my viewers like and what they indulged in, you know, what was pleasing to the eye. And once I learned that, that was it. But then, I'm just going to be honest with you, I felt I wasn't prepared anymore.
The Hospitality Leadership Podcast is brought to you by Road to Cloud, the people management platform for shift-based teams. Used by more than 4,000 businesses, Road to Cloud saves managers time spent on admin, helps businesses save on labor costs, and makes life easier for your staff. Try it for free for 30 days by visiting thecafehustle.com/Road to Cloud. The Hospitality Leadership Podcast by Cafe Hustle Hospitality is also supported by Espressly. Espressly is the solution you need for a mobile ordering app. With customers expecting access to businesses everywhere, a mobile app is crucial. Espressly offers you a branded app that seamlessly integrates with other brands, including Square, give your customers and staff a high-quality mobile ordering experience like bid budget operators and chains. Don't miss out. Visit thecafehustle.com/Espressly to see what's possible. Why was that? Is that because rather going from a curated, designed almost content plan, is that then sort of going to a more natural, authentic approach? Is that where that lack of preparedness came from?
It was more so business-wise. Like, I was used to my set clientele, and I always, truthfully, like, then had about, like, 5 orders a week consistently, or 8. That's where it ranged from. Mm-hmm. And I made, you know, my budget of what I wanted to make and stuff like that. But then, once that video went viral, it was like, do you ship? Do you this? Where are you at? And then the orders started coming in like crazy. Wow. And I was like, I'm not ready for this. But then I sat and was like, this is what you wanted, though. Mm-hmm. So sit down, right? Right? Yeah. Sit down, plan, and execute. You can, how are you going to do this? And that's when I made the plan of, okay, I take orders this day, I deliver out on this day, and that's it. And I only take a set amount. If you don't work in that set amount, you're going on the following week. Yeah. But your order is there. And that's how I was able to create, you know, a strategic plan where I didn't feel like I was running into the ground and was able to get extra help and everything like that. But it literally went from overnight. But don't freak out, you know, like, just don't freak out. Yeah. Like, just sit down, write it down, and say, what can I do to make this better and make it like you're not failing, right?
Well, that's it. And really, it's a challenge. It is a challenge, like, especially when you hear, like, post every single day and being consistent from, you know, a timeliness point of view. There's a lot of pressure there. On top of running a business, we can't, you know, trying to produce, and that's just for one platform, 7 pieces of content, say for Instagram, for example. That's without you start thinking about LinkedIn and TikTok and Facebook and everything like that. There is a huge amount of pressure on business owners, certainly smaller entrepreneurs, to deliver that amount of content. But what you're saying is it's not necessarily consistency of time, it's posting consistency of the content and what people want to see.
Yes. And when you do that, you're gonna get the response. And but I know we're giving so many tips today and like little nuggets, but the whole point of this conversation, as well as other things, is know yourself and don't overthink. Just sit down, come up with a plan of execution, because you can't please everybody. But I'm like I said, once it grew, my clientele went up. But I'm like, okay, how can I take this growth and make sure I'm still pleasing my customers without getting anybody too antsy or mad, right? And that's how I did it. Said, okay, I'm taking 20 people this week, and I'll take the other 20 the next, and then the other 20. And when I get somebody in to help, okay, I'll do 30. And and planning.
We've got to create those boundaries. Now, I know you're a massive advocate for video content. Like, we had Sean Walsheff on the podcast a few weeks ago, and he is really big about, actually, you may own a restaurant, a hospitality business, but actually you need to think like a media company as well. And he is very much the same. It's all about pushing video, as you know, it's the future, isn't it? So why is video now so important? As, say, I don't know, you know, photos are great and all these different ideas, but video is really, it's really making a move now.
How are your customers or just your demographic going to know what you provide if you don't have content? I'll be honest, when social media pushed that they weren't doing pictures anymore, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, now I gotta create a video. You're just making it worse for me. But I thought about myself. I could watch construction videos all day. I could watch cake making videos all day because I love seeing the process of creating. And if I like that, other people like that as well. And they could just see, and it makes them get to know you. You want to know who you're purchasing for. You want to know what their life is about. Like, it's funny because remember when like Real World and reality TV came out long time ago, and other people's lives was just so intriguing. And even though you're not telling them your business on video, it you're showing a part of you, and they feel like they have that relationship through your video, whether it's food or whether it's you speaking to them. So that's why I think video is important for the business. It's that other form, like we were talking about earlier. If I'm here in town, I could be reaching out somebody to the UK or to Australia or to Africa. Like, anybody can see it and build relationships off that. And that's networking.
I think really it's certainly for the restaurant industry, it's about showing the people behind what is delivered, you know, out front in the restaurant or the coffee shop or the hotel, because from a customer point of view, they don't see what goes on behind the scenes. Especially you think of like the likes of a hotel, it's ran very often like almost like a production, you know, think everything has to be right to get the experience for the customer right. And but everyone sees that. But through social, you can start connecting your customers, your guests, with the people that are running that behind. And I think that's what you're saying there, is showing that human side of, you know, because these things can be so corporate on the face of them that we lose that human to human connection. At the end of the day, that's what our businesses are all about.
Yeah, 100%. And like we were talking about earlier too, like, I love people, and just being able to have that conversation because of technology, we don't talk anymore. We text or send emails or what have you, but looking at videos, you feel like you're a part of the experience. And like you said, the back end of it, like, man, it takes all that to make a coffee. It takes all that to order it. And then you have to separate the product, and then you have to put it in the machine. Like, you don't know. And then once you see the process, you're intrigued. And I'm sorry, with food, because I'm a foodie. I could just taste it. I could only imagine how it tastes when I'm looking at it being processed.
It is. Now, if someone, say, is, if they've got their business and they're struggling to maybe start this, you know, this process of just producing content, or, you know, their team is not in a position to, you know, they're not set up to start producing content, what would you say, like, for example, let's say they haven't got enough time and that's, or they're time crunched. What would be the first steps you would suggest people take to start, you know, building that momentum?
I feel like I sound like my parent right now. We make time for what we want to make time for, right?
Yeah, it's very true.
So you have to carve out that time. Even if it's 30 minutes of the day, 30 minutes goes by quick. But when you're being productive, you don't even realize how much you can get done in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I did not know how to photograph food. I did not know how to take videos. I didn't have a camera. I only had my phone at the beginning. And I honestly would just look at Pinterest and look at people's videos and just see the angles that they did. I would look at different photos and lighting, and I just researched, like, okay, how to get your best light. And once I carved out that time, and honestly, it was only 30 minutes, I carved out and said, okay, what is my expectation for how I want my social media to look like? And then once I carved out that time, it was like, okay, so if I do film something, when I make it, I have to make sure I do it right then and there. Because you'd be too busy and you're like, ah, you know, and just forget about it. So that's, carve out the time. Carve out 30 minutes and just say, okay, what do I plan on doing? And have good lighting, and your iPhone or even your Android goes a long way. Yeah. And just press record. Mm-hmm. Don't think about how it looks. Everybody started at a beginning somewhere and it was not perfect. So just literally press record. You're not going to like it. I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to like it. And you're going to look back and be like, that was terrible, but you did it. And then you're only going to learn if you start.
I think what people don't always understand, and I'm learning this more and more, is that everyone feels exactly the same as what you're describing there. We get this. I don't know what it is, but we see things differently. Whereas we'll record something and we don't like it. Other people, it isn't the same. It's very similar to when I first started doing the podcast, and you hate the sound of your own voice. And that happens, and I think it happens to everyone, but you get used to it and eventually you don't actually see it in the same way. I know when we first started the podcast, I said to my partner, Steph, I was like, are you sure I don't sound stupid? And, you know, some people may find my voice, they don't like my voice, but you can't think like that, can you? And it's the same with producing your content. You've just got to do it. And then, you know, people will relate to that and relate to what goes into producing stuff. And that's where you start getting that engagement, when it's real people, you know, talking real truths. People just connect with that.
100%, because people recognize when you're not authentic. You know, you can look at a video and be like, oh my goodness, this is so polished, you know? But then when they see the rawness and just like, oh, like something is, you know, sparks within you in that connection. And your voice is great, by the way.
<Thank you. laughs>
And so, but yes, everybody has that. But you were created for a purpose. And if you felt this podcast was your purpose and you, right, like I said, the beginning, and you started it, it's there. And it's just going to grow from there, right? And you don't know how. And plus, we don't know who we touch. You know, we
absolutely
may, and you can't wait for your customer or somebody's approval, because sometimes people don't even comment on your stuff or even say thank you, I loved it so much. And you can't let that get to you. Sometimes people, that's just not their language, they just don't do it. And sometimes people do it overly, and sometimes people do it right in the middle. But you can't expect that. I learned that a lot with baking. I was waiting by the phone, like, oh, I sent the email that said comment and leave me a review, and then you don't hear it, and it's like, oh man, it sucked. And then you get an email like 4 weeks later, I never saw this email, I'm so sorry. And then you get that little like flutter, you know. But you can't expect that. We all touch somebody in some type of way, and that's really all that matters. Like, we're in our head too much as entrepreneurs. We're kind of perfectionists, right? Can we admit that right now?
Absolutely. It's something we have to pull back on. I know what you're talking about there, and dark social, which is really when we're producing content. I know, again, it's what people set benchmarks, or you need to have 3% engagement or whatever it is. But really, there's a lot of what we call dark social, which is where people are seeing the content. It's prompting them to take action, but they're doing exactly like you say there. They're not necessarily commenting or liking it, but they see it and they take action based on that. So, for example, for the podcast, we see a big uptick, you know, when we do post our videos for our episodes, but we're not necessarily getting huge numbers of likes or comments on it. The engagement isn't always there, but we see it in the download numbers. You know, once we post, we're seeing that effect afterwards. And this is another part of social media that people, we're all after that instant gratification, like you said, waiting for all those likes to roll in. And yeah, sometimes they go viral and people like you had, and you know, people, loads of people are seeing them, but a lot of the times they're still having that impact. And certainly if it helps someone in their personal life, imagine, you might not know that you could save someone's life with something you put on, certainly from a business point of view, but you don't know that. And this is where people sort of get stuck, isn't it? They're not getting the engagement, they're not getting the reaction they want, and they lose that motivation. But if you think beyond that, I can keep you going for, I don't know, forever.
Right. And then, like you said, you just look at your numbers, not your numbers, but what title or what interview did more numbers and why? What were you talking about? What was it specifically, the nuggets that were in there that people engaged in? And that's how I look on Instagram based on my photos. I stopped looking at numbers long time ago because it caused anxiety that I didn't know I had. what the heck? Yeah. Like, we all want the numbers, right? And then when you get it, you're like, oh God, it's more people that I have to engage with and everything like that. And, but I stopped looking at that actual number and then clicking the button and showing, okay, what was I talking about that week? What made it different in my engagement? And honestly, it's the authenticity, and the pro tips and the teachings that people respond to more. Absolutely. They want to know. They want to know how you got here and what are you doing differently than the next person. And it's education, knowledge. Yeah. That's what people like.
Yeah. Now, I know there's a lot of tips there around marketing, but I want to know, what's the future now for J. Carmels? Where is it going to go? What's your vision?
My vision... I want... I do want to open locations in different areas, specifically Miami, because I'm originally born and raised in Miami and moved to Michigan. So I want to have different locations around the world. Also, right now I'm actually having her event where this one's just basically marketed towards women, but just helping people grow, whether it's on regular everyday life and or if it's with your business or even if it's on social media. That's where I see J. Carmels just expanding the business. I feel like every time I have a goal, it blows up in my face in a good way, and I thought low of myself, so I'm very cautious of what I say sometimes. But I would say right now, expansion and just helping people.
Yeah, Perfect. Now, where can people find out more about you? What's your Instagram handle? How can they see the content that you're producing that has given you this success?
So my Instagram is at jcarmel. That's J-C-A-R-M-E-L. I'm also on Facebook, and that is jcarmels with a S. And I also have a YouTube channel, and that's jcarmels kitchen. I go more into detail with recipes because they're longer on YouTube. Yeah. But those are my three. And then my website is www.jcarmels.com.
Perfect. Listen, thank you so much for coming on the Hospitality Leadership Podcast. This is, again, it's about getting out and having these conversations with people that are really having success in the industry. So thank you very much for sharing your experience, certainly your experience around what is possible with the likes of Instagram or social media in general, you know, that short duration success that really sets you off on a different trajectory like it has for you. So listen, thank you very much for your time, for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. And for everybody that's listening, just remember your life could honestly change overnight. Don't overthink it. Just keep following the path that you're going to go in. But thank you so much. I had so much fun today.
A massive thank you to Jasmine. And really, the message from this is that we just have to trust the process. Go through, you know, plan your content out. Sit down for maybe 2-3 hours on, you know, wherever you can get it. And that's the reality, is we have to make sure that we can fit this time, whether you get it all at once or you have to break it up. But the most important thing is get some ideas down and what you want to produce content on. What is your audience, your potential guests, your customers, what are they going to resonate with? And we have to really focus down on that. Try and find the things that really they struggle with or they really connect with in terms of whether it's dining at your restaurant. What is it you give them that other restaurants don't? And bringing in the human connection, which we've spoken about over previous podcasts, showcase the people behind the scenes who are delivering it. But really, trust that process, just produce it, get the content out there. You will be surprised by how much people resonate with it. Listen, thank you again for joining us on this podcast. I hope you're really getting benefit from these conversations, and I'd really like you to reach out to me. I want to start a conversation with you as an audience member of the Hospitality Leadership Podcast, and I want to know what is working for you. What would you like to see more of? What would you like to see less of? Just let me know, andy@thecafehustle.com. And I would really appreciate if you are finding any benefit from this podcast, whether you've got some tips or strategies from it, or even some inspiration from one of the conversations, share it with someone you know who might equally benefit from it, who might get that breakthrough they need. This is why I do it. I want to be able to inspire people through our conversations, through bringing these guests to you, because the hospitality industry is difficult. We'll never get away from that. And if we can find ways just to make it that little bit easier, and that's my mission, really, as part of, you know, Hospitality Leadership Podcast and Cafe Hustle Hospitality. It's about simplifying leadership and hospitality. Whichever way we do that, that's my goal. So again, if you have time as well, I'd really appreciate you leave a rating and a review, whether that's on Apple, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. It really helps us reach the wider hospitality family. So anyway, thank you again. I really appreciate your time. I hope we're bringing you value, and I look forward to welcoming you back on the next episode of the Hospitality Leadership Podcast. In the meantime, make sure you check out our sponsors, Espressly, and our title sponsor, Road to Cloud. Without them, we could not do or couldn't carry on doing what we do here at the Hospitality Leadership Podcast. So if you go to your show notes, there's links there for you to find them, find out what they do, find out how they can make your lives easier running your business. Like I say, we partner with people I always try and emphasize that we partner with people that is all about bringing you value as the audience of the Hospitality Leadership Podcast. It's really important that we're able to do that. We only partner with people that I believe will bring real value to you. So make sure you check those out. But anyway, until our next episode, thank you for joining me. And I thank you for your time. Another 45 minutes of your time spent with me. I really appreciate it. So thank you. So we'll see you on our next episode. The Hospitality Leadership Podcast is brought to you in partnership with RotorCloud, the people management platform for shift-based teams. You can plan and share rotas, record annual leave, generate payroll reports, and more anytime, anywhere. Start your 30-day free trial today by heading over to thecafehustle.com/RotorCloud.